church. A happy Sabbath to all of you. Thank you, La Sierra Academy, for this beautiful Sabbath, for your great music. You guys are a great blessing to all of us. I just want to tell you that before I was walking down here from Sabbath school class, Chuck Nelson, he came to me and he said, "Gilbert, just in case something goes wrong today, you can keep it." For you that do not understand what's going on, last time I preached, we had no power. And somebody told me it was a very powerless sermon. My goodness, Chuck. I said it was the most powerful sermon this church has ever had because I spoke and the whole south of Corona went out. Thanks, Chuck, for looking after me. Last week, somebody came to me and they said, the sink, one of the sinks in the ladies' room is flooded. It's clogged up. And then I said, okay, I'll ask Chuck to take a look. So I asked Chuck to take a look, and the first thing he said was, "Gilbert, what were you doing in the ladies' room?" And he said, "Don't worry, I'll fix it." So he goes there, fixing 5 minutes, you know. And then we are in the office, you know, the pastors around, people that I work with, parents. Chuck passes by and he goes like, "Gilbert, the sink is fixed." And I look at him and I said, "Thank you so much, Chuck." He said, "Just make sure that you don't get back there again." So thanks, Chuck, for embarrassing me in front of the staff. Can you feel the love in this church? It's an awesome church, isn't it? But these things only happen to me, I don't know why. So, what is the worst dream you ever had in your life? Yeah, that was a question. Did you have a bad dream? Did you have several bad dreams? Do you remember growing up having bad dreams? Let me ask you another question. Do you remember waking up in the middle of this dream? How did you feel? Relieved? Why? It wasn't real? How many of you have woken up from a dream and your heart is beating really hard and you think you're going to die and sometimes you cannot even remember the dream that you're having? Have you had one of those? It's horrible, isn't it? Growing up, I don't know why, I used to have a lot of bad dreams. Horrible dreams. And most of them were wild animals and wild beasts chasing after my family, my mom, and my sister. And always in those dreams, I couldn't do anything to help them. Always running away. Always waking up in the middle of the night, you know, gasping, and my heart is beating and pumping really fast, and then having the desperate feeling that something's gonna happen to me. Growing up, I had to deal with some things that I hope, God forbid, most of you didn't have to deal with, especially you young people. Growing up, I had to deal with a very abusive household. My dad used to drink a lot. My dad would get lost on the weekends. Come back 2-3 days later, we had no idea where he was. I remember my dad walking to the front door and my mom yelling at me. We had a drill that when my dad would walk to the front door, the drill was run to the back door. I remember countless times when I had to jump the fence and go to my aunt's house. I also remember a lot of noises coming from my house, a lot of screams, a lot of bad names that were addressed to my mother. Back then, they didn't make too much sense, but today, I kind of understand what they really meant. Fast forward now, maybe 15, close to 20 years. I'm in college. I start college when I was 27, start late. Fall of the year 2001, I believe, I start having those childhood dreams again. They kept on coming back in the same dreams, and I would wake up in the middle of the night. I start having what I call panic attacks or anxiety attacks. That's what I think the proper term. Waking up in the middle of the night, didn't know what was going on, and talking to my wife and telling her what was going on. And there was one night that the anxiety attack or the panic attack was so strong that I went to a balcony of a place that we used to live, and I looked down and I said, "Lord, I'm feeling that I'm going to die." Sometimes I would wake up and kneel down and pray and ask God to take that dream out of my brain, and it was just horrible. And one day, talking to my dear wife, she said, "Gilbert, I want to tell you something." I start sharing with her those dreams and those panic attacks, anxiety attacks. And my wife looked at me, she said, "Gilbert, I want you to hear something from me." And I said, "Yes, what it is?" She said, "I believe that God has a huge plan for your life. But until then, you have to see a psychologist." So I did. Thank God for La Sierra University counselor program. I went there one day and I talked to a gentleman, and he was the school counselor. And I said, "Dr. Dudley," he was the counselor back then, great man of God. I said, "Dr. Dudley, I need to talk to you." He said, "Yes, Gilbert, come on in and have a seat. What's going on?" And I said, "Well, I think, you know," I'm always joking around, and I said, "I think I'm a prophet." And he said, "Oh, here he goes. Why do you think you're a prophet, Gilbert?" "Oh, I got to tell you, these dreams that I'm having at night, and wild beasts and wild animals, and, you know, I'm kind of running away, trying to figure my way out." And Dr. Dudley, he looked me in the eye, 2 minutes in the conversation, and he said, "Gilbert, tell me about," and this is how I heard him saying, "tell me about your father." I said, "What? Tell me about your father." And I was like, "No!" You know, I haven't seen the movie. I said, "Why do you want to talk about my father? He's a great man of God. I mean, he reads his Bible every day. He's a great daddy." He's like, "Tell me about your childhood. Tell me about your relationship with your dad." And I said, "Oh, my." And I told him about all the childhood abuse, all the physical abuse that I saw at the house, or the psychological abuse that I saw growing up. And then Dr. Dudley said, "Gilbert, I'm sorry, but I don't have a pill to give you. I'm going to ask you to do something." I said, "Yes, Dr. Dudley." He said, "You need to make a phone call." I said, "Oh, fine, I can make a phone call. I got my phone right here." He said, "No, Gilbert. You have to call your father." I said, "Oh, don't you worry. I talk to my dad all the time, every weekend, actually." "No, Gilbert. You have to be intentional. And this is what you have to do. You're going to have to call your father, and you're going to have to tell him, 'Dad, I really need to talk to you, and this is serious.'" So I did. Picked up the phone, called my dad, and said, "Dad, I need to talk to you, and this is serious." And my dad was, "Is everything okay? Do you need money? You know, is it everything, you know, whatever you need." I said, "Well, Dad, I need to talk to you about something that might not be very comfortable. Think about this now. I'm almost 30 years of age. I'm not a kid anymore." And I start saying, "Dad, do you remember that you used to drink when I was growing up?" And my dad said, "Oh, son, Yeah, I do. Why do you want to talk about this? I said, well, and here came my assignment from Dr. Dudley. Well, Dad, I just want to tell you that sometimes I remember those things. I didn't tell him about the panic attacks, the exact attacks in the psychologist, but I just said, I just wanted you to know that sometimes I have those thoughts. And my dad told me, he said, oh, Gilbert, it's too bad. I'm so ashamed of myself. I didn't know you remembered those things. And I said, oh, Dad, do you remember the times that you used to lock Mommy's side of the room? Oh, son. Can we talk about something else? Dad, do you remember one time you locked Mom in the room and you kicked me outside of the house and to the living room? And do you remember those noises that came from the wall? You say, oh, son. Is it true that you were banging my mom's head on the wall that day? Why are you talking about that? Well, Dad, I just want to tell you that I'm proud of you. You stopped drinking. You stopped abusing Mom. You read your Bible every day. And I just want to tell you that I'm proud of you. And even though when I remember those things, I really want to forgive you for all that. And this is what Dr. Dudley told me to do. And I was doing it. I'm not sure how much I was present forgiving my dad, but that was my exercise. Do you do some things at times that you're doing it, but you're not fully there, you're not fully present? And I start doing that. And a couple of times I called my dad and I talked to him and I would talk about those things. And sometimes my mom would be on the phone too on the other line just listening to what was going on. And I could hear my mom crying in the back. I could hear my mom kind of remembering those things and just trying to imagine the things that were going through my mom's brain and a poor mom. Only so that you know, my mom did try to leave my dad once. And I remember the day that she took my sister and myself and we were going to grandma's house. And when we got there, after a beat, my grandparents told her, not here. You're married, you have a house, go back to your house. So growing up, I had to deal with all that kind of stuff. And now, as I told you, at the age of 30, I'm dealing with things that I was hoping they were forgotten. They were in the past. I was really happy to the kind of father that I had now. But Dr. Dudley told me, Gilbert, you're going to have to deal with that. And now let me ask you something. How do you forgive someone that has caused so much harm in your life? How do you forgive someone that might have changed you into something that you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life? So when I have people now telling me, oh, Gilbert, you're like a people's pleaser, aren't you? I know why. When somebody tells me, you're always joking around, it seems like you look for affirmation all the time, you want friends. I know why. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm 37 years of age. I know why. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. We have been having a series in this church on the Lord's Prayer, and we have been challenged to understand that the kingdom of heaven is not only a place that we are going to go sometime in the future. The kingdom of heaven, according to the Gospel of Luke, is already here. It's upon us. It's the place where Jesus already walked by. It's the place where Jesus left his teachings. So we are in the kingdom of heaven when you are a Christian and when you believe that you are part of the kingdom of God. And the reason I said we have been challenged in this series is because when I start reading my share of the Lord's Prayer, I said, this cannot be right. Why do I have to talk about forgiveness? Why do I have to talk about forgive my debts as I have forgiven? And then I start wrestling with this, and I start wrestling with this, and I try to make sense out of this. And I came to the following conclusion. I am a Christian. I am a baptized Christian, and my sins have been forgiven. But here comes the next part. As a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, am I forgiving like the Lord Jesus taught us how to forgive? Because it's one thing to be forgiven, and I have been forgiven all my sins. But now, as a citizen, as a mature citizen of the kingdom of God, I have to deal with these things, and I have to do what Jesus did to forgive. When Jesus was asked, how many times should I forgive? You know the answer. 7 times? And Jesus said, not only 7 times, but 70 times 7. Throughout his ministry, Jesus showed so much compassion and so much forgiveness. Dying on the cross with a crown of thorns on his head, nailed to the cross, dripping every ounce of his blood. On the cross before dying, Jesus was able to look down and say 2 things. The first thing was, John, behold your mother. Even dying on the cross, he wanted someone to take care of his mom. That's awesome. And he looked at his mom and he said, Mom, behold your son. Jesus was taking care of his mom before dying. And then the most powerful thing comes right after it. Jesus prays, continuously prays. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. That's the principle of the kingdom of God that is already upon you and upon me. So now you might be saying, well, it's a nice story, but I don't have to do with this. I didn't grow up in an abusive family like yours. Maybe some of you did, God forbid. It's good for you that you became a Christian. It's good for you that the Lord found you. It's good for you that you don't have to deal with those things. What does that have to do with me? And I'm going to tell you what this has to do with you. I was a son at one point, and today I am a father myself. Do you parents understand what I am saying? Do you young people understand what I'm saying? I know that some of you are dealing with parents and situations at home. I hope not like mine, but I just want you to remember something. Your parents are not perfect either. And I'm sure, as a father, as a parent, I know that I many times have done things that I shouldn't have done. I remember one week that I was extremely busy not long ago. My daughter asked me the entire week, Daddy, are you going to tell me a story tonight before going to bed? Because that's all we do. And that week I was so busy that every night I said, no, Gabby, I can't. It's already late. I start getting mad. Go to bed. And night after night after night, my daughter asked me, Dad, are we going to have a story tonight? And I said, no. And one night, my daughter looked at me and she said, Daddy, I was going to ask you something, but I think I already know the answer. And I said, what are you talking about? I was going to ask you to tell me a story before we go to bed, but I already know that you're busy. As a parent, I ask my children today, would you forgive me? for my trespasses, for my sins against you. Wrote my daughter a little letter and put it on her bed that very same night. And when she read it, she ran to the restroom. She was pale. I knew something was wrong with her. And I told her how much I loved her. I asked her to forgive me. She's only 8 years old. And then she came. She gave me a hug. And she showed me the letter. And she was so mean. She was. And then she said, can I put the letter here on the wall, Dad? You wrote me a letter calling me a princess and telling me how much you love me, asking me for forgiveness. And I forgive you, Dad. And I said, yes, God, you can put the letter on the wall. Forgive your parents' debts as well. Because you are also members of the kingdom of heaven. And you have to understand your parents as well. And you have to try to work with them. I teach at the academy too, and I see students sometimes complaining, my dad feeds the cat, but he doesn't give me breakfast. And as a father, I would say, don't you know where the cabinet is? But we don't understand what they understand. We don't understand the way they see things that you're showing that, you know, maybe the cat is more important than they are. That's what they're seeing. It's not that they don't know where the cabinet is. This is the principle of the kingdom of heaven. And now only to finish up, I want to tell you this. I do not want you to have the impression that my father is a bad man. I do not want you to have the impression that my mom was a woman that didn't have her own opinion or didn't have her value. I just want you to tell you that not long ago, about 5 years ago, I went to Brazil and my dad wanted to tell me something. He said, son, I want you to tell you something. And I said, Dad, what is it? And my dad said, son, I want you to know that there's one day all those conversations and all that those things that I had experienced in my life with my abuse of alcohol and other things, I want you to know that there was one day that I don't know what happened to me. Your mom was sitting down in a chair. And when I saw myself, I had already thrown myself on her feet. I grabbed your mom by her waist and I started crying and crying and crying. And I want you to know, son, that I asked your mom to forgive me for what I had done to her. Isn't that great? That is the attitude of a man. A man that asks for forgiveness. A man that acknowledges when he has done wrong. And now looking back, even though I thought many times my mom should have left my dad, I'm comforted to know, and I'm happy to know, that instead of leaving when it was easy to leave, she decided to stay. And that's what love is. And she decided to stay. And I'm here to tell you that I have yet to encounter a greater human being than my mom. I'm yet to encounter a person that has so much love, so much compassion. I talk to my wife at times, and my wife says, I never hear your mom complaining about anything. She's so happy around people. How can she behave that way, knowing that she has gone through so much? And I can tell you, it's the heart of a Christian. It's the heart of a Christian to understand the principles that Jesus has taught us. Forgive always, 70 times 7. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. And today I want to challenge you, members of the kingdom of heaven, would you also say, forgive my debtors because I have forgiven? Would you also say, now I can be forgiven by the Father because He has also forgiven me? I have forgiven by the Father. I'm being forgiven by the Father because I have forgiven those who have hurt me. Because that's the principle that Jesus has taught us. Everything else is just plain Christian. Christianity is not only knowing the Word of God, the Bible backwards. This is really good. This is very important. But Christianity is living the principles that Jesus has taught us. And today, this series is bringing another challenge to all of us, all of you. Forgive as well. That's another principle of the kingdom of heaven. Forgive. Because if you do, your Father in heaven, we also forgive you. Thank you, Last Year Academy, for coming here today. God bless you guys all. Thank you.